Yeah, you know, I was listening to Kerry Washington, the actress, and she said, she's like, I think of opportunity like a bus. She's like, if you show up on time for the bus and the bus is there, you hop on the bus. It was your bus. If you show up on time for the bus and the bus is a little early and it's driving ahead of you and it's leaving you and you scream and you holler and you run and you chase and the bus stops, you get on the bus. That was your bus. But if you show up on time for the bus and the bus leaves you and you're screaming and hollering, waving your hands and the bus driver doesn't stop, it wasn't your bus, but you did your job. You showed up and you chased after it.
Are you ready to transform your life? This is a no-nonsense show helping immigrants like you create generational wealth, even while working full-time. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Saket Jain.
Welcome back, Migrate to Wealth listeners. Today's guest, I am super excited. He's very special. His name is Akeem Shannon. You know how we talk about the rags to riches story, and there's a few that we have highlighted on this show before, but this story is very, very close to my heart because this is a business. This is a story of a growth of a business, a college dropout who ended up becoming a CEO. When I say ended up, he made it happen. He's a CEO now of Inc. Top 50 fastest growing company. That journey is very exciting. We talk about Shark Tank. We have never had somebody who's actually on a Shark Tank. So we have somebody, Akeem, has been a Shark Tank. I have not known anybody who's known the likes of Snoop Dogg. So I'm like, you know what? This is a perfect show. I'm going to learn a lot of this show. And the real reason why I wanted you guys to hear Akeem's story is there's no one way to skin the cat. There's a lot of ways to achieve your wealth journey. Some do it by working very hard. Nothing wrong with that. Some do it by launching their own businesses. Kudos to them, because I know as a fellow businessman, it's not the easiest path to make your wealth. And also at the same point, Akeem, what we'll also talk about it, time permitting, is that even though he has seen the success in his business, he's still using real estate as a vehicle for tax efficiency, for growing his wealth, so that he can diversify his risk. So we'll touch a little bit about all of these things. Well, Akeem, let's talk about one thing that I always love to talk to my guests about. One is, what does the word migrate to wealth, or phrase migrate to wealth, mean to you?
You know, for me, honestly, I feel like it's the mindset shift. It's the migration that had to happen in my mind to understand, you know, what it would take for me to truly be wealthy. You know, I'm a sales guy. I came from a world of sales. And, you know, originally I was just like, well, let me just get more income. But once I understood, okay, here's what wealthy looks like for me, not just even monetarily, just, you know, with family, relationships, life, happiness, like that's when things really started to shift. So the migrate to wealth for me is in your head. Because once you do it there, everything else starts.
Yeah, I love that, man. So Akeem, what is, from where you started, wherever you started, whenever you started, you could be 2 years old or 20 years old or 18, I don't care. Whenever you remember going back of your recollection of thinking about wealth to where you are today, can you help us paint a picture on, did the wealth look differently for you back then versus now, or does it look the same?
You know, I've always been, you know, I grew up, my dad's a big saver, right? And so very frugal. And so, you know, I always grew up just, yeah, when I made money, I saved it. I was not a spender. And so all I really thought about wealth was like, hey, if you save more than you spend, you know, you get wealthy. I didn't really understand, you know, investing. You know, I didn't understand anything about, you know, stock markets or mutual funds, ETFs, you know, real estate, none of that stuff. I didn't know that my money could make me money. All I knew is that, hey, if I go out and work, then I can get some money. But I didn't know anything about making money while I slept. And I think that that's really kind of the difference that happened when I started investing when I was just working, but it really transformed once I had my own business, because now it was like, wow, you know, I'm not touching things and lots of income is coming in. And I think that's really what I didn't understand as a kid. But I was really fortunate. I ended up working at a Square in fintech. And I worked with entrepreneurs every day. And man, once I was just seeing how much money these guys were making, I was like, I think I need to be doing this.
Yeah. Square is a great product. And you're right, not just the fintech, the company itself, but you're only working with other people. And most people who use the product Square are entrepreneurs in general. So you're surrounding yourself with those. I always say that, and I didn't grow up in this country, but entrepreneurs are the life and blood of this country, for sure. I mean, there are the W-2 as well, and there's a presence for them as well. But I think the country is definitely getting the benefit from all the different entrepreneurs there are. So thank you for playing your role into that.
Of course. And listen, you know, the entrepreneurs can't do anything without the W-2 employees. So it definitely takes
true.
A team.
That is true.
But yeah, you know, I think that, you know, you talk about that migration. For so long, I was very satisfied. I was in sales, and we'll get into it in a second, my full journey of how I ended up in sales. But, you know, for so long, it was just like, yeah, if I can just make more income. But I remember being at Square, I closed a really big deal. It was like a $10 million a year business, and they were going to use Square. And it was going to probably represent, over the lifetime of the deal, probably around $1 million for Square. And for me, I got like 10 grand. And
a
I didn't like the math.
A pat on the back.
Yeah.
Good job.
I didn't like the math there.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't unfair. That's what I signed up for. But I'm like, man, what if I could be on the other side of this equation? And that's when the shifts happened.
So let's talk about that shift. So what was on the other side?
So, you know, well, let me back up a little bit. So the way I got into sales was actually through a huge failure, right? I actually lost my college scholarship. I had a full ride scholarship, Howard University in Washington, D.C., to study chemical engineering. And I lose the scholarship and I have to come home. I don't know why I was in chemical engineering other than...
Do we want to get into why you lost it? Or is there a story behind there that we can share?
You know, I lost it. One, I hated chemistry. That was the problem number one.
That's fair.
Number two, honestly, I was probably going through a depression. And I also, I looked at, when I realized I didn't like chemistry, but I enjoyed making things and I enjoyed business, I looked at changing my major as a failure. It was a failure to admit that I could not complete the journey that I set out to start. And so, you know, because I was so afraid of admitting that failure, instead I just had failure secretly and didn't tell anyone what was going on and what happened. I actually spent an entire semester in my dorm, not going to class after I had gotten kicked out of school on academic probation. Wow. So it was a really tough time, you know, in my life. And I was the lowest I've ever been. And I honestly didn't think I could recover from it. But when I came home,
can we stay on that story for a second?
Yeah.
Why did you pick chemistry major if you hated chemistry?
I was on like Forbes and they said the highest paid degree in America is chemical engineering. And I said, okay, great. That's what I'll do.
Got it. So you actually didn't know what you're signing up for. It was not a passion that was driving you, which is again an interesting thing. I think there's a theme there, right? Because what you're doing now, you're very passionate about. And you wake, even though it's harder than chemical engineering, I can imagine that. Because at least chemical engineering has an end, 4 years. As an entrepreneur, you don't know when the end's coming. Hopefully there's no end.
Yeah.
And if there is an end, hopefully there's a great exit, which I know you're going through that right now, at least in the process of looking at it. I think that's great. So we'll keep that. We'll park that. We'll bring the passion back up journey, right? Passion journey again when we talk about why you're doing what you're doing now. So yeah, continue with your story. You came home.
Yeah, so I come home and I'm feeling like an absolute failure. You know, I went to a private high school. Some of those kids went off to Harvard and Yale. And I'm just feeling like, man, you know, I'm going to be the failure. You know, I'm going to be the one stuck in his parents' basement. So I made myself this promise that by the time my friends would graduate college, I wanted to be making at least as much as the average college graduate. Because I'm like, hey, you know, if I can't have a degree, I at least need to be making as much money as if I had a degree. Mm. And so I get into sales. I start working in retail.
And Akeem, I'm sorry, man. Sorry to keep interrupting you. Why'd you pick sales?
So, you know, you gotta remember, I have no experience, right? I have a high school diploma, and I always had a passion for sales. Like, I was the kid that sold the most candy bars, you know, in school. Mm. Got the awards for, you know, selling the most little trinkets out the magazine to my neighbors.
Right.
And so I knew it was something I was good at. And then also, I was a tech geek. Like, I loved cell phones. I loved smartphones. And when I found out that if I worked at a cell phone store, I got a free cell phone plan and I could get the latest cell phone
perfect.
For free. I'm like, perfect.
Love it. Sign me up.
Yeah. So, you know, I said, sign me up. For me, it was either I was going to sell cell phones or I was going to sell cars. Like, those are the two things I had interest in. And I said, I think I can figure out how to sell these things. And so, you know, as I started doing sales, you know, I started off only making 10 bucks an hour. You know, I wasn't making much, plus commission. Ended up becoming one of the top salespeople in the entire company for Sprint. And then I get an offer to go work at Verizon in a call center from one of my former managers. And that's when things really started to take off for me. I remember he called me up and he's like, Akeem, you got to get over here. Like, these people can't sell a thing. He's like, you're going to make so much money here. And so about 3.5 years after I had lost my scholarship and got kicked out of college, I found myself making close to $100,000 a year. And I'd saved up nearly
$100,000
in cash.
Good for you.
And man, it was such a burden that had been lifted off of me because I felt like I recovered from this huge failure. And in between that time, I hadn't even talked to anyone I knew in high school. I didn't want to talk to anyone because I didn't want them to know that I had failed. And looking back on it now, I wish I had let people in. It would have been a lot easier. But yeah, it was a big milestone for me. And during that time period, I was just so determined to save and invest. I started learning about ETFs and penny stocks and started investing. I started growing my 401k. Like I was just really dialed in during that period.
That's amazing, Akeem. That's amazing. So let's take the journey forward in the interest of time. From there, you landed a fintech job, which was amazing again. You closed a $10 million deal. Most people can't close $1 million. You didn't think you got the fair share of the math, which I don't blame you. If you're making somebody $1 million, you get a million. You get a 100K there. Yes, it's good. It makes it feel good. But well, why can't I get the entire share or at least a major portion of the share? Yeah. Tell us the story from there onwards now. What happened from there?
So, you know, really the passion was gone. Like the sales, I wasn't passionate about anymore. One, because of that equation. But I was just like, look, if I'm going to go out here and kill it, I want to keep the lion's share. And yeah. I found myself in just depressed and not fulfilled anymore in life. And at first I thought there was something wrong with me, but I realized like, hey, it was just a chapter. Like all these are just chapters in my life. And now it's time for me to migrate to the next chapter. So I leave my job. My boss recognized this in me and he was super supportive. And he gives me a book called The Alchemist, which I highly recommend.
It's a great book.
And after much delay, I finally read the book and it just sparked this desire inside of me to find my true treasure. Because when I left my job, I didn't know what I was going to do. At first, I was like, oh, maybe I'll do something in marketing. I wasn't quite sure. And so after I read this book, my mindset was just supercharged to look for the opportunities when they present themselves. And that's when I get a phone call from my uncle, who was an engineer at NASA. He was telling me about a project he was working on. And he was going to use this NASA-based adhesive, this artificial adhesive that was based off the feet of geckos for this project. And I had recently mounted a TV on the wall, and I was like, man, if I had this NASA adhesive, it could save me a lot of time mounting the TV. And that's where the concept for the flip stick came from, a little tiny TV that you could mount to any flat surface, so you could watch videos hands-free. And ultimately, when TikTok came around, people were actually making content hands-free, which is what really helped to explode the business. And man, then I just got off to the races. And I wish I could say it was an overnight success, but we all know that's not how it works.
It never works that way, right? You are an overnight success. It's just that overnight with multiple overnights combined.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that journey. So you met your uncle who had a product idea. So what did the journey look like from getting it off the ground, thinking about the product, thinking about the applications, because phone probably was not the first thing you guys thought about. There were multiple things that you may have thought about doing it for. Give us a high level picture of that path, of the journey.
You know, for me, as I mentioned before, I love phones, right? So anything that has to do with them is really like of interest to me. And the first thing I did was a lot of research, right? I started looking at Stanford. They had done research on this gecko adhesive. I'm on NASA's website looking at the research, and I'm just trying to think of practical applications. And I consumed a lot of content on my phone. I saw the shift that was happening from people watching TV on televisions to watching video on their phones. And I said, man, it'd be great if you could just pop your phone on the back of an airplane seat or prop it up, you know, on your desk. And so that was really where the concept began. And I wanted to protect it. I wanted to make sure I made money. So I got on YouTube, taught myself to write a patent, taught myself to do a trademark. But here's the thing, like I wasn't confident enough in the product to dump. As I mentioned, I had about 100 grand saved up when I left my job, but I wasn't confident enough to invest it all in there. So I just got very scrappy and I just started learning how to do things to make it work. And so eventually I create a video and I launch a Kickstarter campaign, right? A pre-order campaign. And we rake in about $15,000 in about 30 days on this pre-order campaign. And I was hoping, I'll be honest, I was hoping for like $1 million, but that $15,000 was enough to let me know, wow, I haven't even made this thing. All I did was make a video about something I want to make and people are buying it. And man, after that, I was committed. I was like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to take this thing to the moon.
So let's talk about that journey. How did you take it to the moon?
So, you know,
taking to the moon? I don't think the journey has ended yet.
This is true. So, you know, originally I started getting on e-commerce, right? I'm not making any sales. I go back to what I learned in my W-2, right? Which is in-person sales. And so I set up a kiosk in our local mall. Over the course of about 2 months, we made about $30,000 in the mall, which is unheard of for a kiosk because you think the mall is dead. And so after that, I decide, okay, all right, what's next? I don't know e-commerce quite yet. I need some investment dollars, I think. Didn't know anything about, you know, getting an investment. I know the difference between a cap table and, you know, any of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I knew what Shark Tank was. So I apply to get on Shark Tank. I get from 40,000 people down to the final 250. They got to get it down to 120 for the season, and they cut me, and I was devastated.
Did they tell you why they cut you, or they don't tell it to you? I don't know much how it works.
I got really, you know, 40,000 people apply every year. I got really far in the process, and they never tell you exactly what happened, but I gotten far enough where they called me to let me know they weren't going to move forward. So I was right on the cusp, and it took me a while before I realized what it was, but to be honest, it was the story. Right now, the story, I was less than a year into the business. The product was decent, but there was no story there. And this is television. And at the end of the day, people buy from people. They buy stories.
Of course.
You know, any investor will tell you, you're not investing in the product. You're investing in the founder.
Yeah.
And so I went out and made a story. I didn't know that's what I was doing at the time, but that's what I ended up doing. And since I couldn't get a shark to invest, that's like, all right, I got to get another celebrity. And I found out that DJ Khaled was going to be at this huge event called the Revolt Summit in Atlanta. It was a music conference, and they had a pitch competition. So I said, all right, we go win the pitch competition. All these rappers and people are going to be there, and I'll impress them. I get my tickets for this conference in Atlanta. And as soon as I buy the tickets, I find out the pitch competition is closed. I won't be able to pitch my business. But I found out that there was a music competition. I said, well, you know, I was in Mr. Karpowitz's music appreciation class in high school. You know, I'll just write a rap about my business and I'll pitch my business in the rap. So that was my plan. Wouldn't recommend it as part of your dissertation, but that was my plan. And I go down, I perform the rap. I get to the top five and then they disqualify me because they say I'm not a real artist. I don't really want a record deal. I'm like, are you serious? I got to get in front of these millionaires so that I can get some investment dollars. But once again, my mindset was so charged. So right before the finals of this music competition, there was a comedy show. And something inside of me just said, you got to stand up. So I stood up front row and I had my product in my hand and I'm like, please look at me. And the comedian must have sensed the desperation in my face because he looks at me like, bro, what are you trying to sell me? And I go full pitch mode. I'm like, this is the Flipstick. It lets you stick your phone anywhere. It's based off of Geckos. You can make TikTok. I'm going into this full pitch mode. And eventually he invites me on the stage to perform my rap during his comedy set.
Holy man, this is amazing.
With all of the celebrities and eventually Revolt, the people who were throwing the conference, invited me out to LA. They bought a ton of Flipsticks for their next event. And at that event, I did the same thing. But at that event, Snoop Dogg was there. Original D-O-double-G. And he sees me in the crowd. I take my phone. I slap it to a column. And he's just like, what is that guy doing? He's like, I want to hear about the sticky phone. And he invites me up to the stage. I give him the full pitch. He's like, man, this thing is genius. This guy's a genius. He's got the thing that's going to change the world. And between him and Revolt, they made a phone call to one of the judges of that pitch competition in Atlanta. He happened to be a casting director for Shark Tank. Never even pitched this guy. He calls me up, invites me on the show. Man, and then once we hit Shark Tank, we started skyrocketing.
Dude, that is an amazing journey, Akeem. I think beyond just getting on the Shark Tank is the hustle, right? It's the mindset, because most people would say, it's not going to happen. I'm going to give up.
It's not going to happen. Right? They'll give up.
Yeah, kind of like, oh, the pitch competition is closed. Let me come next year, right? Or the Shark Tank. I must not be good enough. They give up too soon. I think it's an interesting, and maybe you know the answer, maybe you don't. It's a fine line between don't give up versus understanding when has it been enough, because you may be one conference away to becoming a one comedy show away or one crazy idea away, or you may never get there. Have you ever thought about that? How do you think about what's that line?
Yeah, you know, I was listening to Kerry Washington, the actress, and she's like, I think opportunity like a bus. She's like, if you show up on time for the bus and the bus is there, you hop on the bus. It was your bus. If you show up on time for the bus and the bus is a little early and it's driving ahead of you and it's leaving you and you scream and you holler and you run and you chase and the bus stops, you get on the bus. That was your bus. But if you show up on time for the bus and the bus leaves you and you're screaming and hollering and waving your hands and the bus driver doesn't stop, it wasn't your bus. But you did your job. You showed up and you chased after it. That's kind of how I look at everything. It's like, look, I'm going to show up. I'm going to chase after with everything I got. And if it leaves and if it passes me, hey, it wasn't meant for me. That's okay. And there's definitely, you know, there's been many times for me where that's been the case. You know, college was a story for me where, hey, that wasn't my bus. But I also didn't run for it. So who knows? But in this case, I couldn't let it go. And, you know, once I was able to see the pattern of what was happening, of like, man, if I just don't give up on these things, like I can keep making this stuff happen, you know, it just didn't stop. You know, that's how we landed retail distribution in Target and Best Buy, AT&T, T-Mobile stores, all kinds of stuff. We ended up raising, you know, over $1 million from investors outside of Shark Tank, post Shark Tank. We even, years later, this actually happened last summer, I got invited back to Washington, D.C., where my biggest, earliest failure, you know, occurred. And it was to join the curator of the Smithsonian Museum on an exhibit they had on the history of cell phones. And they included my story and my product in this exhibit. Dude, and I remember amazing. I had my mom with me. She's sitting there and we're in between the CEO of Qualcomm and the woman who invented text messages. And I'm like, Mom, I don't think we're at the right table.
I'm sure she was.
Oh, she was over the moon. She wouldn't stop talking. Like, Mom, you cannot talk to these people this much. But it was one of those things where, wow, like, how am I here? Like, it was unbelievable because, you know, to be completely honest, I wasn't qualified to be in that room with those people. But when I asked the curator, you know, why me? Why am I here? He said, look, how many, we have, I don't know, 10, 20 million kids come through this museum every year. How many of those kids think that they can invent text messages? Very few. How many of them think that they can be the CEO of a multi-billion dollar company? Very few. He's like, it's important for us to tell those stories, but it's also important for us to tell your story because what you've done for a lot of kids seems possible. Yeah. And if we make it too far, they'll just say, oh, I can't do that. It's just in a museum. But this is a regular guy in a museum. And so, man, it was incredible.
That's amazing, man. Well, you don't hear that story quite often, right? Where somebody, you've heard that, you know, Bill Gates, all these guys, Harvard dropouts, and they become a different journey. But your journey has been, but they were still, I mean, they had still had access to a lot of resources, even though Bill Gates didn't join Harvard.
Yeah.
His parents were at the board of IBM, right? So there's a different channel that they had access to. The story that you're basically telling is you're a regular guy, like a common person.
I didn't know anybody.
I didn't know anybody. You're doing comedy and a music conference, having a rapper, Snoop Dogg. I mean, this is the real story about the hustle, which is great. And I'm thinking it's all because of the mindset that you have been able to develop, right? Because it's easy to say it's not for me. Very easy to say. I mean, I've said it several times in my life. I'm sure so has everyone, including you. You said college is not for me, right? Everyone has those moments. But that's what I want to reconnect with the passion is you figured out what you're passionate about. And once you figured it out, you knew your inside voice was telling you, don't give up. It's going to work. Don't give up, right? It was easier. 100%. But once you are living somebody else's dream, then you have to figure out. Oh. And you wake up in the morning, it's a drag. When I can't wait to decide to give it all up, go back to my bed and just sleep.
Wow. That's so powerful. You know, when you're living someone else's dream, it's easy to say no. And I remember waking up, you know, here I am at this tech company, right? We got unlimited vacation, paid vacation, catered lunches every day. It's a great job in all senses. But I don't even want to get up and go to work. I'm rolling into work at 11 o'clock. Right. You know, it didn't feel good to show up. And I think that that's so crucial because like you said, man, it's been way more work doing what I've done. But when I tell you the buzz and the adrenaline being on this journey of entrepreneurship, even though I had to work hard, it was fun. It was enjoyable. And like just speaking on it, you know, tomorrow I'm headed to Miami and if you're going to see a pattern in how I do things. I found out about a competition called the Great American Speak Off. You know, I've been asked to speak a lot lately and share my journey. I'll be in South by Southwest for any of your listeners that'll be there. I have a talk called Scaling on a Shoestring that I'll be doing at South by Southwest. And, you know, I decided, hey, you know, I want to be a speaker and I want to get into speaking. And so I find out about this competition that Grant Cardone was putting on. And now I'm a semifinalist for it. So I'm headed down to go do that. And it's like, it's just
love fun. It, man.
You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of work. Yeah. And there are definitely big lows. I mean, after your biggest highs, you have big lows. But it's enjoyable. And man, I just wouldn't give it up for the world. If there's one thing I want to tell all of your listeners is that, look, I made the mistake when I first started in my journey that all I wanted to do was make money. I was thinking about the end goal. I'll make some money. I'll retire and I'll be happy. But that was not true for me. I really needed to be on my own personal journey. And it didn't always mean making a lot of money up front, but eventually it would get there. But more importantly, I'd have fun along the way. And once I realized like the most important part was enjoying the journey, not working for the end result, but enjoying the journey, man, it changed everything. And then the money happened to come along with it. And so, you know, if I had to go back and do it again, which I wouldn't, like I definitely like the journey I've had as is. But is I wish I would have known way back when I was going to college, like, look, go for your dreams, whatever your journey, whatever you feel like it is you want to do, do that. The money will follow because you'll be so passionate. You'll get up every day and you'll work hard and you won't give up. And eventually it'll work out. And I've been fortunate enough to meet just a lot of interesting people, you know, being in a business where we make phone accessories, work with a lot of influencers. And I've just heard so many journeys where it's like, wow, how did that work out? And, you know, it's just really great.
That's awesome, man, dude. I know you have a very tight schedule, so I'm going to be respectful of that. So we're jumping to the last part of our show here, which is really a few questions. One is going to be more, I think you've already answered that question, but I'll give you an opportunity if you want to add something to it, is what would you tell your younger self? If there's a 20-year-old Akeem listening to the show somewhere, what's one thing you want to tell that person?
The thing I would tell me is you have everything it takes. I think for so many of us, we think, well, I don't know this person. I don't have this access, or I don't have this amount of money. And we're so afraid to take the next step because we want that step to be perfect. And we just need this before we can get started. And it's like, no, you have everything you need right now to take the next step. It won't be the next best step, but it will be a step. And as long as you keep taking steps, you'll get to where it is that you're trying to go. And I think that a lot of us are paralyzed because we think we don't have what it takes to chase after our dream. I was recently speaking to a big high school. And at the end of my talk, and I'm telling them all this crazy stuff, right? A regular guy doing all this crazy stuff. At the end of my talk, I said, who here has big dreams? And out of several hundred students, four kids raised their hand.
That's it?
And four kids raised their hand. And I was like, why aren't you guys raising your hand? Well, I just want to be content. I don't think I can do that. What makes us think we can do this? And I was like, guys, what makes you think it? Me, I'm just a regular person. Yeah. I'm not special. I didn't know anything. And, you know, I think to tell my younger self, you got everything you need to get where it is you're trying to go, to become who it is you want to be. I wouldn't have been so afraid Yeah. And I think that fear stops a lot of us from doing the things that we truly want to do. And I'm just glad eventually I was able to overcome it. And man, I've been so grateful.
Akeem, this has been great, man. This has been great. Dear Akeem, again, in the interest of time, is there anything you would like to share with our audience that we didn't have a chance to talk about?
Well, for any of your audience members, you know, I definitely don't know as much about wealth as you do, but I will say that if you just need some words of encouragement, a little bit of motivation, maybe a video here and there, I have a text message group chat that people can join. It's completely free. And you can also reach me directly through that text message line. And they can do that at 314-789-9005.
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure we include that information below in our show notes. Akeem, dude, thank you. First of all, congratulations for all the journey that you've had. I know it's not an easy one.
Thank you. Thank you.
It you get to share the story and inspire a lot more other people. That, I think, is really, I can see the light in you, in your eyes, when you talk about your story and try to inspire people. I think that's the next chapter I can foresee for you. Or maybe there are more products. Who knows? You may have another crazy idea and you'll go on another comedy show. You never know.
I got a lot of ideas.
I can imagine. So thank you again for sharing your insight, sharing your journey, sharing your inspiration, and making sure that you do good the work, you spread the word around. So appreciate that for all the listeners. Take Akeem's offer, right? It's free. It's free. What's to hurt? Hey, you may get inspired, right? You may have that. As I always say, you're one relationship, one conference away from something that you're, something that can inspire you. It has happened to me in my life. If you chose a path of not going to that music conference because you don't know music,
man,
or you can't rap, where would your story be? It would have ended very differently. We don't know how different. Maybe better, maybe worse. Nobody knows. But it would have been a very different story. Yeah. So, Akeem, thank you again for all the listeners tuning in. Appreciate you guys. Keep tuning in and let us know how this show has affected you, impacted you, inspired you. I would love to hear from you. Thank you.
If you got value from this episode, you might consider sharing this content with a friend. But most importantly, be sure to take action on what you've learned. One way you can take the next step is to connect directly with Socket on an investor call. That link is waiting for you in the show notes below.